I continue with that, but I'm gonna make it all the way down to the end of Joshua. Joshua 24. So if you want to turn to Joshua 24, that'd be a blessing. But if you also want to turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because we'll actually start there. Last time I was here, I was preaching to you about some of the typology associated with Joshua. And there's really a lot of it there. And so I wanted to, I love typology in the Bible. Thank you. You're a gentleman and a scoundrel. And typology in the Bible is so important because, you know, Paul said in 2 Timothy, right, 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works, right, through and through. And so that the man of God may be perfect. So all scripture, it's like, well, that's Old Testament. Why are you preaching out of the Old Testament? Give us something from the New Testament. I am. I'm giving you the Old Testament.
Amen.
Right? And if we can look and understand what the Old Testament is saying, then you'll see just applicable. Can I use that word here? Okay. And there's a lot of syllables there. And I even stunned myself on that one. But we'll see just how applicable the Old Testament really is, okay? It's like, why are they going through all that stuff? What are they telling us all that for? Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you're there, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, okay? You know, why are we having a Thursday night Bible study is so that we can be less ignorant when we walk out of here than when we walk in here, okay? And it's like the one fellow says, if ignorance is bliss, I'm a blizzard. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, talking about the Red Sea, right? The cloud was the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, right? And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Does God want us to understand that there's typology going on in the Old Testament? That we're supposed to be making application to for a New Testament believer, right? Comes right out and said that the rock that you were looking at that got smoked twice, where Moses broke the type, that was a type of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, that's typology. Okay, there's similarities over in the book of Hebrews. It talks about the things that we read in the Old Testament were our shadows. They were shadows of what we're dealing with now. Shadows. In other words, you look at those and you sort of see the shape of what you're dealing with right now in your life. That rock was Christ. Okay, it's called typology. It's throughout the Old Testament. But with them, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6 says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." So the New Testament believers here, and I'll pray in just a minute, I'm just setting the stage here. New Testament believers are instructed, if you will, okay, to understand that Israel as a nation is serving as an example to New Testament believers.
Yes, sir.
You can take a nation and make personal application to your life. You can take Israel as a nation and make a personal, or you can make a personal application to your church. So that your church doesn't go through the same pitfalls that the children of Israel went through.
Yes,
when they were wandering around, okay? So God instructs us to understand that Israel is serving as an example, and we're admonished not to make the same mistakes that they made, which were many, right? They made a lot of mistakes. Verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 10, these things, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. That's a living example, right? You probably know that. An ensample is a living example, okay? These things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. Do you know what an admonition is? I could tell you it's like, hey, listen, drinking booze is not good for you, okay? Well, and you could turn around and tell your children, you know, drinking booze, bad, 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 right? And the kid doesn't even know what you, and you're warning the kid, don't drink booze. But when you're admonishing someone, you're telling someone that has a problem with booze that, hey, you have a problem with booze and it's not good. You need to get rid of that thing. That's an admonition. Difference between a warning and an admonition, okay? Giving out some general information, okay? If you're not a smoker, then you know that smoke, you already know smoking's bad, okay? But if you're dealing with a smoker, it's like, hey, listen, that stuff's going to kill you. That's an admonition, okay? And so there's a difference. The admonition presupposes that there's a problem, okay? There's a problem in this area, and that's why we're talking about it. So that's these things were written, where am I? Oh, these things happened unto them for our ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. Okay, our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's us. In other words, God is telling us, oh, by the way, you have the same problems they had. Don't think that it's like, how many times have you read through the Old Testament and said, how in the world could Israel be so stupid? How could they possibly be so stiff-necked? How could they be so rebellious? How could they be so stubborn? How could they possibly put something in front of God when God did all this for them? The same way the New Testament believers do.
Yes, sir.
Right? We just have different gods. Ours, we got sports and, you know, we got sports and Lord, I don't know what else we got. We got sports, okay? And we got all kinds of different sports. And we got politics and we got, you know, people will go, they'll go to, and they'll be politicking for this, that, and everything else. But ask them to go out and pass out some gospel tracts, okay? And it's like, well, I can't. I've got a game. I'm saying after 40 years of wandering aimlessly in the wilderness, Moses is dead now, and he becomes, and Joshua becomes a new leader. That's where we're going to pick it up. But I like to dwell a little bit on the typology, if it's okay. The children of Israel are finally to pass over the Jordan River. That's a picture of death. Death to self, okay? And they enter into the promised land. I talked about that the last time I was here. And the picture is a picture of a New Testament believer that finally decides, okay, I'm going to sell out. How many of you know believers that just never really sold out?
No.
Right? So I got a picture, you know, when thou art converted. Well, he's saying it to Peter, okay? And I think Peter was already a believer. Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Where else can we go? But he wasn't converted yet. He wasn't sold out yet.
Right.
And there's a lot of Christians today that just are not sold out. They're not getting it. Okay? And it's like, well, if you had any idea what's going on in my life, I don't know, this, that. So did Israel. That's why they wandered around for an entire generation. Yeah. I better stop and pray. Let's pray, okay? Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, these folks are here on a Thursday night. Not because there's not something else to do. There's all kinds of things to do. But Lord, they love you enough to show up here and glean something from the Word of God. Father, I'm asking that you just search the hearts of every man, woman, child here. And Lord, what do they need? What does each person need? The Holy Ghost of God has no problem whatsoever determining what's in every single person's heart here. And what one person needs may not be another person's need. Father, I'm asking that the Spirit of God would meet the needs of the people and minister to us tonight. Father, I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so back in Joshua, and the last time I was here, I went through Joshua, okay, and you know that Joshua led the children of Israel, and they started going, around battling, and they started winning these miraculous victories, and this, that, and everything else. I'm not, and that's the book of Joshua. How did I do? Okay, and so that, oh, I did that last night for Othniel, the first judge. I actually talked to him for like this long. So now you know everything about Othniel, right? So anyway, in chapter 24 of Joshua, verse 1, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel. Joshua's old, real old now. He called for the elders of Israel, for the heads and the judges and all the officers. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And look, there's plenty of stuff to talk about there. He may very well be talking about the Red Sea. I'm not 100% sure what he's talking about there. He's not talking about Noah's flood, because Abraham was after Noah's flood. So it had to be probably the flood of, it was either the Jordan River or it was the Red Sea. Take your pick. Amen. And you can all argue about it, and you can break fellowship with one another over it. Amen? And so I'm not even going to bring it up. Bottom line, it could have been either one, okay? But in verse 2, he continues to say, and they served other gods. They served other gods. The man of God of Ur, the Chaldees, was called the Mon God. It was called Sin. Okay, capital S-I-N. I'm sorry, not the man of God, the main God. Yeah. I'm sorry, the main God of Ur was called Mon God. Mon God, okay? And it was also called Sin, capital S-I-N. Probably just a coincidence.
Yeah.
It's called Sin. And that's where you get the Sinai Peninsula from, okay? By the way, the Sinai Peninsula is not the Sinai Peninsula, okay? It's a whole other topic. Sinai, I don't even know if there is a peninsula in Sinai. Somebody misnamed it. But the wilderness of Sin, okay? The wilderness of Sin is Sinai, Mount Sinai, okay? It's all the same area, okay? Ancient Arabian god called Sin was called Al-Ilah, okay? And which simply means the god. That's their god. That's their main god, okay? Over there, Ur of the Chaldees, okay? And so the modern shortened version of Al-Ilah is what?
Allah.
Allah, right? Allah. But that's the god of the Chaldees. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the God of Abraham's father, Terah. He was a false god worshiper. Abraham's dad was a false god worshiper. Aren't you glad you showed up for church tonight? Okay.
Yeah.
And so the God Allah of Mohammed, that claims to be the descendant of Abraham and Ishmael, is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When they try to, well, it's the same God. Don't you know it means the God? That's what our father. That's the same God. No, it's not the same God. Their God is the God of the Chaldees, Terah, Abraham's father. That was, which was probably Abraham's God until he met God. So Joshua's reviewing the history, Israel's history, to show them how they got to the point. Joshua's ready to check out. Okay? He's ready to kick the bucket. And so he's giving his last words, and he's reviewing. And I told my church last night, I said, please don't roll your eyes at me when I'm repeating something that I'm repeating. I know I've said this already like 10 times. Do you know why I'm saying it 10 times? Because God says it over and over and over and over. And Joshua is reviewing Israel's history to show them how they got to the point where they were. Okay, the land's been distributed and everything else. You know that they haven't been completely obedient, right? If you read the book of Joshua, they've been partially obedient. But that partial disobedience is going to plague them till the 21st century AD, okay? Stephen repeated it in the book of Acts. Paul repeated it in the book of Acts. Nehemiah repeated to Israel their history back in Nehemiah chapter 9. David did it several times, okay? And so I just wanted to, because I really do want to get to two different messages. Here's some things you want to know. Verse 13 of Joshua 24, I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and the cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, vineyards, olive yards, everything else, all the way back, going back all the way to Kadesh Barnea, right, the crossroads where they stood at the crossroads, and they chose the wilderness over the holiness, and now this is the generation that was young, they were young kids, and now they've grown up, they fought the battles, and now Joshua's recounting to them, now you've got all this land. You got all this land now. And it's absolutely tremendous. God was fighting for you. He was fighting for you, but you didn't get all of it. You didn't get everything, okay? And he's telling them exactly what's going on. So in verse 14 of Joshua, Joshua's saying, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Amen. And then look at if you got your pen, you might want to just underline the next phrase and then put a question mark. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Wait a minute. You mean they haven't already put them away? God's kids haven't, they're still not done with the past life, with what they were doing? And they're still not done with that? They're still dealing with that? Even though they've got all these victories? But there was still a lot of victories that were yet to be had, weren't there? If you read through the book. I'm saying serve them in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. Serve God. Right, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go, church? We got no place to go. I mean, if you're going to get any kind of truth at all, you're going to get it here. You're gonna get it at church. You know you're not gonna turn on the idiot box and get it there.
Yeah, right.
Where are you gonna get it? But I'm saying if there's something that I see lacking, and your pastor will know, I could be very, very specific right now, but I can make a very general statement that there's a lack of sincerity and truth.
Oh, come on.
In Christianity. The Apostle Paul said we're to keep the Lord's Supper with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Come on.
And that's lacking. I want to encourage you. Be willing to take a hit. I know there are numbers of people that I know that are forsaking the truth because right now it's not real convenient to stick with the truth and to be sincere. And to be upfront and open and transparent and honest. There's a lack of sincerity in our churches. There's a lack of truth. Just trying to get a straight answer out of some folks. Folks that want to be considered faithful. And maybe they are on the surface. Maybe they're here. You know, every time the church doors are open. I'm saying I want everybody, I would love everybody in this church to be serving the Lord. I want everybody that's not here, that's maybe here Sunday morning, but not here tonight, I want you to serve the Lord. But if you're going to serve Him, would you just be honest?
Come on.
Just be honest. No. Joshua's addressing this thing. And obviously Achan wasn't honest, right? And his family wasn't honest. I was thinking about that the other day. Why'd they have to stone his whole family? Because they weren't being honest.
That's right. They knew.
The family knew. Because the sons are not to be killed for the fathers, for the sin of the fathers, and the fathers aren't to be killed for the son, for the sins of the son. So if they're wiping out the whole family, then the whole family knew.
Yes, sir.
And I'm saying if you're going to serve them, do it with sincerity and truth. I'm going to try to get through this real quick if I can, okay? And he says in verse 15, he says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, Choose you whom this day, who you will serve. Are you going to go out, if you're going to get all wrapped up in sports, then go serve sports. Get out of the church. Give everybody a break.
Amen.
So they don't get frustrated. Where are they? Well, there's a game today. Well, there's a game today. I didn't mean right now.
Yeah.
I didn't mean right this instant.
Be right back.
Oh, okay. Just got to go check the score. And
so Bill's still
if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you whom this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I mean, just get it settled.
Amen.
Who are you going to serve? Whose side are you on? Pick a side. I mean, if you're going to go off, then go. Then just be honest. Be sincere. And say, you know what? I'm just going to go out. It's like I'm more concerned about sports and camping and canoeing. And I love all that stuff. And hunting and fishing and golf and whatever. You probably don't have a lot of golfers down here. I'll bet you got a lot of hunters, though.
What?
And fishers, okay? I told you I'm a virtual hunter, right? Did I tell you that? That I get the license every year. I go out there, I got all the equipment, I'm out, my gun is loaded, my bow is out. I got the tree stand up there, and if you didn't know any better, you'd swear I was hunting. And so the people answered in verse 16 and said, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. He just got tons telling them, put away your other gods. You got them. They're there. And the New Testament gives us an admonishment. Okay? I don't know where they are in your life, but they're there.
That's right.
Your preacher probably knows. Uh-oh. Chances are you know if you're being honest with yourself. What's holding you? You know, family? I got a problem with family. I got four kids. I got a bunch of grandkids. And I got... three of my kids have houses, and I'm dropping one project to go bail out the other project. Family can become a god. At some point, you guys say, okay, that's it.
That's right.
That's it. I'm not taking that. My daughter just said to me, she goes, well, you know, we got this chest here downstairs, and it's split on the side. I'm not taking on any more projects. That's what I said. I am not taking on any more projects. I'm done. I've got enough projects to hold me from now till the end of the year. And then there's the emergencies that pop up. Where am I? God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods like family. For the Lord our God, he has brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying it appears as though Israel has finally learned their lesson. But Joshua continues to warn them anyway. He's old and he knows better. Verse 19, he said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He's not going to forgive them. If you're going to hang on to them, you know what's frustrating? To listen to somebody say, well, I know that God has forgiven me. I've repented. And I know that I'm forgiven. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Well, then why are you continuing to lie about it?
Yeah.
Why are you continuing to cover it up? Why are you continuing to minimize it and not be honest? And when somebody asks you about it, you and you just like this, like as crooked as a dog, you're not repentant. You're not repentant. Joshua goes back, he goes back and he starts warning them again. You're not done with your gods.
Come on.
And I'm saying, you're not going to hear preaching like what I'm giving you today from Joel Osteen.
No.
Or Norman Vincent Peale, or what's his name, Schuller, he checked out, right?
Yeah.
From the Crystal Cathedral, right? I'm not going to hear that kind of preaching, because it's all positive. Let's all be positive. Let's be all that we can be. Jesus loves you. He does love you. He loved you enough to die for you. So Joshua says, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he's going to turn... He will turn and do you hurt and consume you, and after that he hath done you good, okay? And he goes on to say, now, with that in mind, he's telling us, like, listen, if you don't serve God after all that God has done for you, and if you're going to keep going back to these other gods and you're just, and you're trying to cover it up and you're not going to be honest, God's going to do you hurt, okay? That's that message. Okay, so then, now we're going to move over to Judges. Okay? Let's move over to Judges. When you think of Judges, this is, do you ever notice how everybody now is saying, we're following the science? You have to follow the science. We're following the science. You know what the people that follow the science do? They ignore the first two laws of science.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's how they came up with evolution. They ignored the first two laws of science. Yeah. Right? First law of thermodynamics, first law, I mean, physics 101 is mass and energy can neither be created nor destroyed unless an outside source comes in and adds something to that system. So they have to ignore that, okay? Ignore that outside source. And then the second law of thermodynamics, the second law of physics is everything tends toward disorder. Everything winds down, okay? You get all the watch parts in a can and shake the can around, it does not turn into a nice Rolex watch, does it? It doesn't turn into a Rolex watch. You put a watch in a can all wound up and shake it around and see what happens and see how long. It might take a year or two for that battery to run down, but that thing's going to run down, right? And things run down. When God made creation, he made it good. He made it very good, and it's been winding down ever since then. When you look at the book of Judges, just think of second law of thermodynamics, because Brother Jim said so. And it's basically, it's a law, it's a rule. In the book of Judges is the law of human collapse. Human collapse. The civilization collapses. The culture collapses. The society just collapses. It falls apart. And then God steps in, adds something to it, raises somebody up. The nation of Israel gets victory. And then they live and they rest in that victory. And they stay at an even keel for a little while. And then they begin to wind down again. They wind down until they're serving other gods and this, that, and everything else. And then God turns them over. God turns them over to their enemies and this, that, and everything else. And they serve in bondage for years and years. And then God raises up another judge, inserts that judge into the mix, and Israel becomes victorious again. And they're up and they're riding high in April, shot down in May. Okay, and so they're doing that, right? And that's the book of Judges. Okay, that's life. And think Frank Sinatra and the second law of thermodynamics, book of Judges. In Judges chapter 2, verse 13, this is the, you know, Joshua's dead now, Moses is dead, and everybody, all the priests and everyone else that were alive during Joshua's time, they're all dead now. And Joshua left him up here. They could have been up here, but Joshua left him here. And it turns out that they just wound down and they found themselves down here, shot down in May. In verse 13, Judges 2, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Okay, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of the enemies round about. And so God fixes the thing so that they can't get out of their own mess. Okay, they created a mess, and they can't get out of the mess. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody.
Come on.
But, I mean, the only one that can fix this is God. Kind of like looking at America today. Do you honestly think that there's a politician in America that could make it happen? Hey, listen, I voted for Trump. I'll vote for him again. But I got news for you. He ain't going to fix it.
No. Right.
There's too much opposition. Only God can fix this country. Nevertheless, verse 16, the Lord raised up judges and delivered them out of the hand of those who spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods. And when the Lord raised up judges, which is the name of the book, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. God doesn't, listen, God does not want to see his kids in bondage. God doesn't want to see you going through the problems that you're going through if you're going through problems. All right? He wants you to live a victorious life. He wants, you know, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and then they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. Let not your heart be troubled. Right? That's the life that we're supposed to be living. So even when we got, when the water's coming in over the gunnels, it's like, okay. So, it's time to bail. In fact, if we got two people in there, it's like, I tell you what, you pray for a while and I'll bail, and then I'll pray and you bail. Right. And we'll just, and if the water keeps coming in, we'll just keep bailing, we'll just keep praying, right. We'll just go through, and this is what the God has for us right now, and it's okay. This too shall pass, right? It's not a big deal. It seems like a big deal when you're going through it. I'm saying God doesn't want to see his kids in bondage, but verse 19, it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. That's the law of human collapse. Right? My brother-in-law, I would say God rest his soul, but man, he passed away back in December. But he always used to say, you know, politically in America, what happens is the pendulum, you know, just because the pendulum's all the way over to the left right now, you know, don't worry, the next election, it'll swing back to the right. And, you know, and then, but then when the right gets a hold of it, the next election following that, it'll swing back to the left. It's like, that's not the way I'm seeing it.
No.
I'm seeing it go this way.
Yeah.
Okay? That's my right, your left.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going left or left or left or left or left. All right? So where are we at here? The law of human collapse, okay, came to pass, the judge was dead, they corrupt themselves more than their fathers, they ceased not from their own doings. That's people. That's the ministry. Wrapped up in their own doing, their own self-will, their own self-absorbed. Verse 20, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. This people hath transgressed my covenant. They've not hearkened to my voice. Is that the kind of relationship that God wants to have with his people? We're being admonished, right? Because the New Testament says, you know, this is an admonishment, you know, would not to have you to be ignorant, brethren. So what applies to them applies to you and I, right? It applies to this church. I don't go to this church, but I got a nickel that would say this church ain't perfect.
No.
If our world better than that. Verse 21, also I will not henceforth drive out from among them the nations which Joshua left when he died, and that through them I may prove Israel, whether they'll keep my way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. And so God says he's proving them. If you ever drove down through Pennsylvania on the thruway and made it to the Ohio border, you get to Ashtabula, Ohio, there's a tank proving ground. You know what they do at the proving ground? They don't walk up to tanks and say, yep, it's a tank. That proves it. No, that's not how you prove a tank is a tank. A proving ground is where you get the guys that have been trained and disciplined and taught and given demonstration after demonstration after demonstration. It's like, okay, now show us what you learned. It's a proving ground. And God leaves these nations, these enemies of Israel in their life to prove them, to see if they'll ever smarten up and serve God and turn back to God. Say, God, only you can get me out of this. And so that's what's going on there. That's what it says in verse 23. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. So he left those heathen nations just to be a thorn in their flesh, just to keep prodding them like a cattle prod. It's like, isn't that what Jesus said to Paul? Don't you get tired of kicking against the pricks? That's a cattle prod. camel ride, I guess, if you're over there. if you're over here in Western New York, it's a cattle prod. Okay, cattle prod. I don't know what they are now. I mean, back when I was a kid, cattle prods had about 6 or 8 D-cell batteries in them. And when and I worked at the racetrack, and when the horse was being stubborn, it's like, I'm going to get it. I'm getting it. I'm going to go get it. Now, I want you over here. Get over here. And if they won't, it's like, and then they move. Okay? And so that's why God left those nations in there to zap them, okay? So then we get on to chapter 3, okay? Boy, we're moving along. We're cruising. Chapter 3 of Judges. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. And that's what I want to really talk about. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. To teach them, underline that. Because that's really what the message is about tonight. I gave you all the background to show you that we're guilty, okay, we need this. And this is for us. These children of Israel, these children of God, don't know how to fight. They have not seen war. They don't recognize war when they're looking at it. And they need to know, they've got to be taught war. Verse 3, again, namely the lords of the 5 lords of the Philistines. I'm not going to go through that. And verse 4, they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken to the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. In other words, there's enough of the opposition left to harass you and trouble you in your life. There's enough of your past life there that you need victory over to harass you, to prod you to get victory over it. This is a problem. This is a problem. This is a problem in my life. This is a problem in my life, right? A lot of people hear about the Lord. A lot of people hear the gospel. People respond to the gospel. They get saved. People get baptized. They show up for church. They'll show up for church on Thursday nights out in the middle of nowhere.
Amen.
With road apples on the road.
Yeah.
But and there's people that'll get saved that won't even darken the doors of the church. But even faithful people that are in church, every time the doors are open, a lot of them don't know war.
That's right.
You don't know how to fight. And I'm not talking about, you know, all that. I'm not talking that stuff. I'm saying, when's the last time you've won a spiritual battle?
Hello.
When is the last time you lived and kept the canoe afloat while the water was coming in? And you're just like, okay, well we're coming in. We're going down, but I'm just going to keep paddling, and we're going to keep bailing, and we're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep, we'll pray while we paddle, we'll pray while we, maybe I'll just get out some electrical tape or something and put a can, I'll strap a can to my paddle. And that way, and I'll just bail and paddle at the same time while I'm praying. Lord, you see where I'm at here? And get through the battle. I mean, make it through the battle so that you make it to shore. Am I making sense?
Sir.
I'm saying there's a generation in America that doesn't know how to fight spiritually, take on an adversary in your life. I don't know what your adversaries are. We could start naming them.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we could start with drugs. We could start with alcohol, tobacco. We could go with the sports gods. We could go with family. We could go with bitterness, resentment, anger, strife. Okay, this, uh-oh, that, and everything. All the hurts, uh-oh, all the pains. We can go through all those things, and it's like, I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm showing up for church. I'm praying, but it's still there. Because you don't know how to fight. We have to learn. I'm saying we need to learn how to fight, and it's just, God's kids got to learn how to fight. What happens is here's what people do, and I say it, I think, every time I come. Well, I told the Lord about it. The Lord knows all about it. So I left it in his hands. And when the Spirit of God is ready to move, then the Spirit of God will move and I'll get victory. Boy, that sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? What about getting out your paddle and rowing while you're praying and bailing and rowing and try to keep your stuff dry? I'm saying our generation, 21st century Laodicean, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, shingle-shaking, leather-lunged preaching, Laodicean church-age people don't know how to fight and get a victory. They give up. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up, okay? Don't quit. Don't give up. God says, I'm leaving those things in your life. And those things in your life, those are things that you need victory over. You got to get victory over that. You got to get victory over those memories. You got to get victory over those hurts. You got to get victory over those pains. You got to get victory over the dope. You got to get victory over the alcohol. You got to get victory over your lack of faithfulness. You got to get victory over your lackadaisical attitude. Apathy. Thank you, apathy. And you got to get over your apathy. That's a bad. Those are battles. God, I need victory over this thing. I came in here and I said, I sang the song right on time. Coming down the road is usually right on time. Why? Because people get all stressed out. Why are we stressed out? Why? You know why? Because they haven't learned how to overcome stress. Mm-hmm. It's a battle. Learn how to stop. You know, it's like, and I have to tell people in my family, okay, would you stop the drama already? Stop the drama. Well, we're going to have to get the vaccine. We got to get the vaccine. We're going to have to get the vaccine. Don't worry about the vaccine. Don't quit your job. Do not quit your job because someone's forcing you to get the vaccine. Call an attorney and start a class action suit. And make them fire you for not getting the vaccine. And don't stress it. God knows what to do if you decide that you don't. And I'm not telling you whether to get the vaccine. I'm not saying don't get the vaccine. I'm saying if you decided you don't want the vaccine, which I decided. But I'm not telling you what to do because I'm not a doctor at time. And that's my disclaimer there. You got it on tape, right? So I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just using it as an illustration.
Good save.
Okay? And I'm saying that... Don't stress over it. Don't worry about it. How far is Pennsylvania from here? Get a job down there. There's probably more jobs down there than in Western New York anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I'm saying learn how to take on a battle. I was just using stress as an illustration. Okay? It's 22. I love you. I care about you. I enjoy the ride down. I enjoy the time I'm here. I enjoy the ride back, and I always get a feeling of like, I really feel like I did my job. I get all sweaty and everything.
Amen.
And this is why I'm sweating, sitting down. You ought to see me when I'm standing.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I'm animated enough when I'm sitting. I mean, I really smell when I'm standing.
Well, take your word for it.
Take my word for it. You want to, okay? Anyway, these people, they don't know how to fight. And Paul tells us, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Learn how to fight a good warfare. Learn how to fight. Learn what your issue is. Remember we were talking, I said, I'm not going to read all those names. The lords of the Philistines and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Zebusites and the Jebusites and all, you know, and this, that, and everything else. You know who they were? Very specific enemies.
Yeah.
Very specific. Every person in this room has very specific enemies that you and God know about.
Come on.
It's none of my business. I don't have to know about it. But you and God know.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those that... What? What? If you're one of those that don't know, pray. It's like, God, where are the enemies? Because I know they're here because there's a direct application. And you said the problems that they were having was a living example for me, and you were admonishing us, so therefore it must be a problem with me. So, Lord, where are my enemies? What are they in my life that I need to overcome? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful, Lord, and for the Word of God. There's so much there, Lord. Just skimming over the surface. But Lord, would you help us to fight a good warfare? Would you help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Would you help us to decide who we're going to serve? Whether the gods of this world, or whether we're going to fight or whether we're going to serve God Almighty. Help us, Lord. Would you help us to identify the fights that we need to be taken on? Lord, maybe there's people here this evening that are in the middle of a battle, and they know they're in the middle of a battle, and maybe they're ready to give up, and they're tired, and they're burdened down with the battle that they're trying to win, and it doesn't seem like they're going to win it. But Lord, you'll give them strength if they don't quit. As long as Israel fought, you fought for them and took them way further than they would have ever made it on their own. Mm-hmm. And that is a direct application to the New Testament believer. Every single person in this room that's a New Testament believer has those promises. Be strong and have a good courage. We know that you will not leave us nor forsake us. Give strength to those that need it now, Lord. And give guidance to those that need it as well. I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.